The Declaration of Independence notes that the Creator has endowed us with the right to life, but abortion undermines that right to life. And now, abortions are often being administered more by the abortion pill than by surgical abortions. Is the abortion pill safe? Some people have actually said that taking the abortion pill is as safe, supposedly, as taking Tylenol or penicillin. But is that true? Dr. Ingrid Skop disagrees. In a recent article in LifeNews.com, it quotes her as she refutes such outlandish claims. Dr. Ingrid Skop is a practicing OBGYN, and she's also vice president and director of medical affairs at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Dr. Skop back to the program. Dr. Skop, thank you so much for joining us. Ingrid, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry. Glad to be here.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, just so we understand this, abortion pills now are more than 50%, or they account for more than 50% of the abortion. So this is extremely important as a topic, since abortion is still being practiced. I mean, hundreds of thousands of abortions per year in America, correct?
That is correct. They are actively promoting chemical abortions to women, telling them that it's more natural, that it's safe and effective, that it's safer than Tylenol, that they can have an abortion in the comfort of their own home. This is for reasons that benefit the abortion industry, but not the women, because it's a very miserable experience for them.
Okay, so tell us about this. I mean, what is it like for those women who undergo a chemical abortion?
Sure. So just to back up, the chemical abortion regimen that is approved by the FDA is two pills. Mifepristone has until recently been fairly tightly regulated by the FDA. It blocks progesterone receptors, cuts off the hormonal support, and kills the embryo or the fetus. It's followed in 24 to 48 hours by misoprostol, which is a little more readily available. It essentially induces labor to express the pregnancy tissue, but it doesn't always work. The average woman bleeds at least 2 weeks. 40% of women describe the pain as severe. Many women do see their child's body in the toilet, clearly recognizable as a human being. Approximately 5 to 8% of the time, even when it's used the way it's supposed to be used, it fails to express all that you, and the woman requires surgery or additional treatment in order to complete the abortion.
Can you just repeat the statistic of that very last part? In other words, when do women have to come in? Out of how many times, or what's the percentage?
Yeah, so again, when you hear the abortion industry promote this product, they say it's 98, 99% effective. But what they mean is effective in killing the embryo. It does not mean that it's that frequently effective to complete the abortion. So a lot of women have dead tissue that they cannot express. That number is about 5 to 8%. Depending on the gestational age, it's allowed to be used up to about 10 weeks gestation by the FDA. So that means these women either need additional medications. Approximately 5% probably need surgery, and the surgery is often in emergent conditions. It's presenting to an emergency room with hemorrhage, infection, utilizing precious emergency resources in order to care for that woman. So it's, you know, one in 20 women is not insignificant, especially when that amount of women are coming to emergency rooms in crisis.
Oh my goodness. This is amazing. I mean, we are talking about thousands and thousands of women, maybe even tens of thousands of women in America in this 5% category that you're describing.
Yeah, absolutely. The 5% comes from records linkage studies in European countries where they actually care to track the data, where they know all the abortions, and then they subsequently can link them to events. In the United States, almost nothing about abortion is mandatorily reported. So again, the abortion industry tells us about the complications they know about. But many of these women, because they've been told it's safer than Tylenol, and then they suffer a complication, they don't go back to the abortion provider. They come, I've seen them in my office, I've seen them in emergency rooms in Texas. They come to other doctors for their care. One high quality study documented that when that happens, 60% of the time, it is miscoded as due to a miscarriage. So even if you wanted to know the truth about the complications, it's extremely difficult to find that because it's very hard to get the data because it's voluntarily reported, and abortionists sometimes don't bother to tell about their complications, and other doctors may not realize that there's not a system in place to collect complications unless they report them.
Are women being informed of this kind of danger?
No, of course not. They're told complications are rare, that it's safe and effective, safer than Tylenol. So the women that I've cared for inevitably have been surprised by the complication. That's one of the reasons for the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine lawsuit against the FDA is that they allege that informed consent cannot even be obtained because we have no idea what the true complication rate is. And so women, of course, do not know what they're getting into when they opt for a chemical abortion.
Okay, what about the claim that this is supposedly safer than Tylenol? Obviously not, but I want you to elaborate.
It's a bait and switch. What they're doing is they're comparing the deaths in the United States from Tylenol overdoses. There's usually about 600 every year. Those are suicides. And of course, they give, and they're comparing them to the abortion-related deaths, and there's many reasons, really too numerous to talk about here, but the abortion-related mortality collected by the CDC is very well known to be incomplete, particularly if it's related to a mental health death. They don't even try to detect those. So they're comparing incomplete data, but also not comparable data. Of course, women, when they hear that statement, they're assuming, oh, I took Tylenol for a headache yesterday, so wow, you know, if it's that safe, then surely there could be no problems. So it's a dishonest attempt to steer women toward these chemical abortions, which are very it's a miserable experience for the women, and again, not safe and not effective in many cases.
Is it miserable for the women in all cases, or just in those 5% that you were talking about before?
No, it's expected that they're told that they'll have a heavy period. But recall, I mean, this is a pregnancy that needs to end, and there's tissue, there's pregnancy tissue. So it's not just bleeding. They need to express and pass tissue. And so their uterus needs to contract like labor in order to express that tissue. So that's even when things are going the way they're supposed to, it's labor-like pain. And as I mentioned earlier, one recent survey said that 40% of women describe the pain as severe. So it's not like a heavy period.
Boy, it seems as if women are directly being lied to. What about the analogy of penicillin, that, oh, this is safer than penicillin?
Yeah, again, it's looking at deaths from anaphylactic shock from penicillin. So, you know, again, not a good analogy. And sometimes you'll hear Viagra, and that's related to cardiac arrest because Viagra can have an effect on the cardiovascular system. So, you know, those are it has nothing to do with the general use of those drugs. They're just talking about the deaths, and then they're trying to compare it to the deaths that we don't even really try very hard to detect related to abortion.
Okay, now it's my understanding that the chemical abortions have been around for a while, and yet it's only recently that we're starting to hear about it. Have the dangers been there all along, but because they weren't practiced as widely as, say, surgical abortion, that's why we haven't been hearing about this?
Well, it is certainly the case that it has every year it has gotten more and more popular. So, yes, when it was initially approved in the year 2000, it accounted for a very small percentage of all abortions, but has been promoted and has increased. And we've seen at Charlotte Lozier over a 15-year records linkage study that we did 500% increase in the complications reported. So that is part of it. The Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine case is coming about now because the five physician groups that have alleged that the FDA broke its own rules in order to approve the chemical abortion regimen. They went through all of the steps that they were told to go through, citizens petitions, et cetera, and they were stonewalled for years. So the case is just now coming up because that's just kind of the way it worked going through the normal channels. But along the way, the FDA has taken away safeguards over and over. Just very quickly, there have been so many changes, but they approved it under a category that is reserved for drugs that treat life-threatening illnesses for which there is no other treatment available. And of course, pregnancy is not a life-threatening illness in almost every case. They never did pediatric studies, although they were required to by their own laws. They extended from 7 to 10 weeks gestation in 2016. They said, we don't want to hear about complications unless it kills a woman. And they also at that time said that it could be prescribed by someone other than a physician, even though only a physician has the ability to perform the surgery when these abortions fail. And then in 2021, they did the worst thing of all. They took away the in-person prescribing requirements so that no ultrasound is needed. This means that, you know, a woman could be 18 weeks and thinks she's 10 and she takes these pills. She could have an ectopic pregnancy, which can rupture, and women have died from ruptured ectopic pregnancies undergoing chemical abortion. No labs are necessary. No face-to-face counseling is necessary. And what this has allowed is online ordering and mail order delivery without any medical supervision at all. So the FDA just time and time again has removed protection for women. And so that's why we're seeing more and more complications. But I would add that many women are ashamed of the abortion. They just want to get it behind them and they don't want to talk about it. So, you know, like you said, if tens of thousands of women are injured, why aren't we hearing more? These women, I've cared for them, and they just they're silent. They don't think anybody wants to hear their horrible story. And in many cases, they've told me that they think this is what they deserve for getting for making the decision they did. So women are suffering in silence, but they are certainly suffering.
Oh, my goodness. We only have about 2 minutes left. You hear sometimes the claim, well, abortion is health care for women. In light of what you've said today, that doesn't seem to be the case at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Abortion is not health care defined as restoring health. I mean, abortion, its intent is to end life. And of course, that's not health care. But it should be pointed out that only about 1 out of 10 obstetricians will perform an abortion if requested by their patient. So if it were necessary women's health care, wouldn't every women's health care doctor perform that procedure? The fact that so many obstetricians will not perform abortion tells you without a doubt that it is not women's health care.
Oh, my goodness. Tell us about this lawsuit that's involved, and we all have only 1 minute left.
Yeah, I mean, just very quickly, I outlined some of the allegations against the FDA, saying this was a politicized process. It should have never been approved. And if approved, it should have never had the regulations loosened the way that it has. So we'll see how this progresses through the court system. Of course, the narrative is that this is, you know, judges interfering where they shouldn't be interfering. But the reality is someone has got to supervise the FDA. Someone has got to hold the FDA accountable to their job, which is to prevent the American public from being exposed to dangerous drugs. These drugs are clearly dangerous. The evidence in the case demonstrates that. And so as the case progresses, hopefully we will see that the judiciary system holds the FDA accountable and either backs these restrictions way, way up to where there's a lot more regulations in place or removes the ability to prescribe mifepristone entirely.
Do you have a website you want to refer people to? Because that's all we have time for.
Sure. Lozier, L-O-Z-I-E-R, institute.org has several pages called abortiondrugfacts.com where you can find all of this information.
Excellent.
And a whole lot more.
Okay, Dr. Ingrid Skop, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.